This morning is the last message that I have on spiritual disciplines. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines that are important for us as believers to have in our lives. Things that we should be doing for two reasons. One, to grow closer to God, but also to become faithful in these things. We talked about reading of the scriptures. We talked about prayer. We talked about meditation. We talked about being part of the family life, the church life, our finances and giving. And this morning, I want to talk to you about accountability and discipleship. Getting and listening to good advice is sometimes a tricky thing. We all need it, and deep down we know that we need it. Yet when it presents itself, we seldom listen to it. Or we insist that we don't want it because we actually know better. You know, a few years ago, around the second week of April in 2022, a cut-off low-pressure system began brewing southeast of Durban. And by Monday, the 11th of April, the cut-off low, codenamed ISA, had grown in intensity, and from midnight that Monday through to midnight on Tuesday, it unleashed more than 300 millimeters of rain in that period of time along the Durban coast. That's the equivalent of one day's rain. That one day's rain is the equivalent of 30% of our rain for entire year that was dumped on Durban that night. And remember too that a few days earlier we already also received 50 to 150 millimeters of rain that drenched our area. So the ground was already sodden, was very wet. And initially, well, many of us thought, oh, this is just another rainstorm. You know, we've had those before. We don't worry too much about them. But that Tuesday night, the heavens continued to open up. And I remember at some point during that Tuesday night, I said to Sonia, something's wrong. It shouldn't keep on raining like this for that long. And if Noah and his family had been here in Durban instead of on the ark, they probably would have felt the same way we did about the amount of flooding rain that fell on us from above that evening. This storm that we had, or this rain that fell, led to a calamitous flood with 459 people losing their lives and 88 people still missing by the end of May 2022. Over 4,000 homes were destroyed. 40,000 people were left homeless. And 45,000 people were temporarily left unemployed. The entire central area of Durban was flooded. Bridges were destroyed. Roads were being closed off for several days, cutting off all communication or access to certain parts. And it even extended right up inland towards Howick and surrounded areas. Warnings right from that Monday was coming in over the radio and television that more rain was coming and that people should be careful. And we started seeing pictures of that intersection there as you go towards Pinetown on the Stapleton Road, I think, where just the Bucky's roof is sticking up. There was so much water coming through that intersection. So the extent of the damage was quite a lot. The rain that was still coming down was quite a lot, and a lot of warnings was coming out. The extent of the damage left everyone in shock the next day. But what left many people shaking their heads were the things that other people were doing during this time. Of all the advice that was given, of all the warnings that was given, a lot of people were not listening to the advice and to the warnings that was issued. And were trying to drive, for instance, over a flooded low water bridge with a little Hyundai i10. It's like putting a Hot Wheels dinky car over a bridge and expecting it's going to stay on them. Ignoring warnings, people tried to cross flooded streams and rivers just so they could go and buy alcohol on the other side, have it, and then come back. And you think, have you lost your mind? People were swimming down flooded streams just to go and loot flooded shops and to see what they can find. And the thought that was in most of our minds were, what were you thinking? Did you think nothing's going to happen? Did you not hear the warnings or see the danger to yourself and to other people? And when we think about the whole thing that happened during the time, the whole flood disaster, that flood disaster is actually sort of a microcosm of how each of us often ignores the gifts of accountability, counseling and discipleship that's available to us. And the reason for this is that we're taught from a very young age to cherish our independence above all else. Especially in South Africa. When something goes tough, what happens with the tough? The tough gets going. We're told to bait fast, Buddha. You must just carry on. Or there's another phrase that we love to say, suck it up, buttercup. You need to get through this thing. That even though it's difficult, even though it's hard, even though it's unsafe, we South Africans are made from a different fiber, a different fabric. We can stick it out. And we show our ability to take care of ourselves, even in dangerous situations. We look out for number one. What I want, right at this moment, and how I can get it as soon as I can get it. No one is going to tell us what to do. Even when I drive an I-10 across a flooded bridge. And if I try, we don't listen because we are the masters of our own lives. We refuse outside input, outside advice. No one knows us like we know ourselves. We've got this under control and we can do it. Does that sound familiar? Many wives are shaking their heads and pointing. It all sounds like a recipe for catastrophe. Yet how often do we think in this manner if we don't say it out aloud? You see, accountability or guidance as a Christian discipline is the cure for this kind of ailment or sickness in the lives of believers and also in the church. This spiritual discipline has the ability to break down our selfish, self-sufficient nature. It is a form of spiritual accountability that gives our lives a set of guardrails, or safety rails, in which we can operate. As believers, we naturally receive guidance from the Holy Spirit that indwells us. All we need to do is to listen to that guidance, to be open to that guidance. And as Jesus himself attests, the main activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, according to John chapter 16, verse 13, is to guide you into all truth. Every single one of us, as believers in Christ, are being guided into truth. The Holy Spirit checks our hearts when we're about to go off sides into self-destructive territory. The Spirit is here to lead us while we're insisting on driving our own lives forward over a flooding bridge. But the reality is that He can only lead us if we are willing to follow. And one of the key thoughts that the Scriptures give us this morning is that self-led drivers can't be Spirit-led disciples at the same time. Let me repeat that. Self-led drivers can't be Spirit-led disciples at the same time. There's a significant difference between being driven and being led, spiritually speaking. And let me unpack that a little bit. Being driven means that we try to blaze our own trail spiritually. We create our own opportunities and we rely on our skills to enable us to excel spiritually. Being led, on the other hand, means that we prepare our hearts as much as our skills. But we must trust God to bring the right opportunities our way at the right time. There's an element of trust in someone or something bigger than ourselves. Being led does not mean being passive or lazy. It's not just you're a donkey that's walking behind someone else. It is an act of dependency, rather, where we don't seek to force the forward motion in our lives. We allow God to create the paths that He knows we should walk down, and then we listen and let Him rather guide us by His Spirit along those paths. The Scriptures talks about this kind of submission, talks about this kind of accountability and discipleship. Let's turn to God's Word and let the Scriptures then teach us from the Word of God itself and allow us to listen and let Him guide us by the Spirit. If you have your Bibles with you, please open to the book of Proverbs. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Very well-known passage. You have probably heard this text before, but it's in Proverbs chapter 3, and the heading in my Bible above chapter 3 says, the rewards of wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's page over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Here the heading in my Bible above chapter 16 says there's a contrast between the upright and the wicked. So we know that there is a contrast going on in this text. And in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 9, the scripture says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In the New Testament, we can turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Here in his letter to the church in Galatia, Paul writes to them also about wisdom. Writes to them about walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. And you can scroll down to verse 25. Paul writes, if we live by the Spirit, let us then also walk by the Spirit. You see, being led by the Holy Spirit demands a total trust, a total abandonment in God. But being driven seeks to bypass trust for self-reliance. We push and we coerce and we attempt to make the world, including God's will, what we believe it should be. How it should function according to our will, our needs and our desires. And then we're trying to cap it off by praying and asking God to bless our efforts. And this, the Bible tells us, is a risky way to live. Self-dependency always leads to self-destruction. Committing our way to the Lord doesn't mean making our plans and then viewing God's plans as a backup in case our plans fail. We need to spend more time praying and waiting on the Lord for His plans instead of constantly churning out and firing out our plans and scenarios that we think best. This way, if we do that, the Spirit-led vessels through which God can work His plans from the outset comes to play into God's plan. The alternative, though, is God always chasing us down and corralling us to bring us back onto His path, because we're often trying to spin our plans and trying to get into our own motion. And many of us can raise our hands and say, yes, I've done that. Where we've decided on a course of action because God was taking too long to make up His mind, and we went in that direction and it wasn't what we should have done. The Spirit is that faithful God, it's that rail that brings us back into line with God's Word. The Spirit is faithful to guide us, by speaking both warnings and welcomes and saying, this is the route. He provides peace to confirm the direction that He would have us go. And that kind of peace that we get when we know, you know, this thing that I'm doing is in God's will, is a genuine kind of deep peace in our souls. Not manufactured peace that we create on our own to justify whichever path we prefer to take. But the question is often, that people ask me this, how do I know? How do I know whether it's my path or my plan or God's path or God's plan? How do we know the difference? Self-made peace compels us to run away from our current circumstances simply so we can escape our present situation. We make a plan to get out of this uncomfortable place that we're in. In contrast to that, God-led peace, on the other hand, compels us to run toward the Lord's plan for us, whatever they may be, however difficult they may be. If we find ourselves in a situation that seems unsustainable, hard, difficult, painful, it's possible that God may be providing a release and confirming it with His peace. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But you have peace that God is still in control. But we need to proceed carefully and prayerfully to make sure that we are not trying to flee a difficult situation in our lives that the Lord may want to use to grow our faith. You know, some hardships, some struggles, some difficulties that we go through, some hardships is the iron that sharpens us and builds character, endurance, and perseverance. We might not like it, but God has a plan for it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." James has a similar thought in chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." And most of us stop reading there and thinking, have you lost your mind? How can I have joy in trials? But he carries on in verse 3. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." But how does this work practically? How do we apply this spiritual discipline of inner peace, knowing God is doing a great work, that accountability towards Him and allowing the Spirit to guide us? How does that work? Well, the Spirit will guide us and give us confirmation either way about what we need regarding our circumstances. Release or endurance. The Spirit will help us to understand either you need to let go of this thing or you need to endure this time of struggle. If you struggle to make a life decision, then you can ask and trust the Holy Spirit to guide you in what that decision is going to be. If you receive a check in your spirit that's saying, there's a red flag here, this is not maybe the best option or the best choice for you, well, stop. Stop and pray and ask God to give you wisdom and insight. You know, perhaps He's steering you in a different direction, wants you to do something else. And if you remain in that fog about this major decision, whether you should do it or not do it, keep praying and wait in that position of prayer until God lifts the fog. If the fog remains, stay faithful then to the last thing that you felt God led you to do. And when it comes to life decisions, we also know that His Word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Psalm 119, verse 105. When you're walking on a dark path, the Scripture tells us that the lamp gives enough light to see only a few feet in front of you, to only see the next few steps. And truthfully, that's all we need. We don't want to see our whole lives, what that's going to pan out like and what that's going to look like. We want to, and that's why we tend to make our own plans, because God is only showing us the next few steps. But we want to see more. This will, allowing God to guide your every step, this will help you trust, keep on trusting and depending on God for your next step as He provides the light. Since the Spirit always speaks God's truth, His voice will align with God's Word, and that will be the light on your path. And that's how we can know that we're hearing from Him rather than from the enemy who wants to lead us down a different path. And we've all experienced this. You know, I've seen this many times, and sometimes I sit and smile when people come to me and they say to me, "You know, Pastor, I've got this decision. I don't know what I want to do. At first, there was only this option, and I knew this is from the Lord. I'm going to study here, I'm going to move there, or I'm going to marry this person." And then all of a sudden, there was a second option. And then I start smiling and I know, yes, there's always another option that comes up. But now is the time that you need to listen, that you need to wait, that you need to pray, and that you need to be patient until God leads you in the right direction. Accountability can also involve having someone come alongside you, a spiritual mentor or an accountability partner. It's a discipline, accountability and discipleship, that must be practiced prayerfully and thoughtfully, because it involves the willingness to be vulnerable to someone, to open up your life to a person that's going to guide you or mentor you. And there are many good examples of spiritual mentors in the Bible. And here's just a few of them. Abraham, who mentored Isaac. Jacob to Joseph. Jethro, his father-in-law, to Moses. Moses, again to Joshua, Deborah, the judge, to Barak, Eli to Samuel, David to Solomon, Elijah to Elisha, Mordecai, the uncle, to his, I don't know, niece or cousin Esther, Jesus to his disciples is a great example. Barnabas to Paul. Without Barnabas, Paul would probably never have been accepted into the fold of the apostles. And then finally, as we see so many letters written between them, Paul to Timothy. Having a spiritual mentor or a spiritual accountability partner or a discipleship partner for guidance can be and is a great benefit. And this is something that we should pursue. This should be a spiritually mature, trusted person whom you can confide in without the fear of judgment. This person can pray with you for discernment, direction about life decisions, and wisdom to follow the path that God has revealed to you. And the goal of this relationship is that you would both be led by the Holy Spirit instead of driving your own agenda, doing the things that you want to do. You see, spiritual mentors are deep wells of knowledge and experience because they've gone through all of that. They have a lot of experience to draw from. They can share wisdom to encourage you. Don't buy this thing, rather go for that thing. Rather wait for this better option than quickly go and buy this kind of thing. They can share that wisdom. They can encourage you and they can powerfully impact your life even by their living example. Most likely they have also traveled through challenging spiritual issues, so you can have the freedom to ask them difficult questions. Spiritual mentors have a lifetime of memories and even testimonies of God's faithfulness that they can share with you to point you back to God's will and God's way of doing things. Each story that they share with us is stacked like a memorial stone in the Old Testament, the same way that God's people used to set up those stones to remember the good things that God had done for them. And whenever someone passed by those stones, they would see the memorial stones and remember the good things that God had done for them, how God had protected them. These markers were living reminders of the Lord's goodness and faithfulness to his people. Now, in our church, we have wonderful people that have been through and been with our church for many, many years. People that know the scripture, people that have been through difficult times. And it's such a blessing to go and sit down with them and talk to them about things that you are worried about or things that you think are going wrong. And they can just reassure you that, no, it's not that. Or this is what the Bible says. But because sometimes we're so focused on our problems, we're making a mountain out of a molehill, they can bring a different perspective. And I would encourage you to form a relationship with someone in the church that you trust and that's older than you and have been a Christian a bit longer, so that they can encourage you, disciple you, even hold you accountable for some of the decisions that you're making. But it's also important to have boundaries in that kind of relationship. Boundaries that's there to bring balance. Boundaries about who I am as the one who's asking for advice and the one giving advice. And as long as these boundaries are set, the relationship should remain mutually enriching for both parties. I would really encourage you this morning, if you do not have an older person that's discipling you or that's just talking with you and encouraging you from the word, leading you through difficult questions or decisions, that you would look for someone in the room even this morning and approach them and ask them, would you walk a path with me? Would you be there to help me stay within the guardrails? My time is up this morning, so let me close with some application questions. Accountability in its various forms keeps us from being dragged off into spiritual harmful places. As the Spirit guides us, we can grow more discerning and prudent in our faith and our faith journey. From what we've discussed this morning, I want you to consider the following questions. You can answer them in your mind, but answer them truthfully, because I think it'll give you a good idea of where you stand in terms of accountability or discipleship. First of all, how do you respond to the Spirit's guidance? Do you respond at all? Do you respond by listening every now and then, or when you're really in trouble? Do you willingly receive or willfully resist His correction in your life? Do you have difficulty being led by the Holy Spirit? Or would you rather drive your own life? Would you describe yourself as self-driven or Spirit-led? Do you have a spiritual mentor or accountability partner in your life? Is there someone that is talking to you, praying for you, encouraging you, sometimes even knocking you back online? And if not, are you open to having one? Are you open to finding someone, approaching someone? Do you believe you could benefit from spiritual guidance, spiritual accountability, and spiritual discipleship? And if you think you do, if you think it is necessary in your own life as a Christian, well, here's some practical steps that you can follow. First of all, prayerfully seek out a spiritual mentor or accountability partner if you don't have one already. Make sure that you feel comfortable speaking freely and being vulnerable with your mentor or accountability partner. Make sure that you're ready to go there, because sometimes God will lead them to ask tough questions. Also, make sure that you are ready to receive honest feedback. Okay, I've had some discipleship partner meetings where I sat with someone and said, "This is wrong." And they're like, "No, I'm not going to stop this." Make sure that you're open for them to even correct you. You must be willing to listen as much as you are willing to speak. So it has to be a two-way relationship. Secondly, set up a routine so you can meet with them regularly. Regularity will establish comfort and consistency in that relationship. Make an appointment once a week, once every 2 weeks, to meet for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and to talk and to encourage one another. Cover your relationship and your meeting time in prayer. You might feel spiritually attacked as you make progress and grow closer to the Lord through this friendship. So be alert and be prayerful, because the enemy is not wanting you to meet with someone who's going to make you stronger. And then finally, you know, hardships and obstacles should not be viewed as something negative. We as Christians sometimes have a tendency to want to run away from suffering, to run away from a difficult period of time, to run away from financial constraints, whatever it might be that the Lord is using in your life at this moment. We don't want to be in that position. We don't like that uncomfortable and pressure and stress that comes with it. But often, these struggles or these sufferings that we go through, they are a sign that a spiritual breakthrough is about to happen in your life. That God is raising up the heat to get the dross out of your life. So keep on praying and keep pushing through as you seek the Lord together with your accountability partner in prayer and in faithfulness and in submission. This spiritual discipline in my life personally has yielded amazing, amazing truths. And I wouldn't be the man that I am today, and even spiritually, if it had not been for the relationship that I had with another believer who guided me and encouraged me. Sometimes, quite often, initially had to rebuke me for my thinking about the scriptures and about my own life. And I really want to encourage you. If you have not put a person in your life that's going to encourage you and guide you and that you can talk with, accountability and discipleship is a vital spiritual discipline for every believer. And I would encourage you to make that part of your spiritual journey. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning and we want to thank you for the people that are in our church. Thank you that there are so many folks here this morning who are able to hear your word. And Lord, as we have been over the last few weeks speaking about spiritual disciplines, we just pray and thank you for your word that is truth. And that from the truth of your word, we've been able to discern and look at some of the spiritual disciplines that we need in order to, first of all, grow stronger as Christians, but also to grow closer to you. Father, implementing these things takes time. And we often forget maybe even the message from a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And so quickly we get back into our old routines because we're comfortable in them. So quickly do we get back into our old habits as well because we're so comfortable in them. But I pray, Lord, that you would change us. I pray that as we've heard these messages, as we've studied your word together, that you would give us the courage to implement these spiritual disciplines. If we are not reading your word, that we would grow in our faithfulness to reading your word. If we are not praying enough or spending time in prayer with you through fasting or meditation and prayer, I pray that you will give us the courage to implement these. As we talk about our relationships with one another, as we give, as we bless, as we share the gospel, as we disciple or hold one another accountable, I pray that you'll give us the courage to even implement those. It might not always be nice, it might not always be comfortable, but it's necessary. So Father, I pray, as we wrap up this series this morning, we thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, through the work of your Spirit and your word, that we would be able to implement these truths in our lives. And for your glory, that we would grow stronger and closer to you. And Father, that our lives would be a testimony of your faithfulness, your work in us, and also how we grow to be able to help others, to encourage others, and to strengthen others. I thank you for our church, Lord. I thank you for the relationships that are in this church, and I pray that we would seek to grow stronger with one another, grow closer to one another, and that in everything we do and say, we'll bring you praise, honor, and glory. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.